Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Understand there's been something added to the agenda today to discuss the Perdido incorporation, and that is in my district. That whole study area is incorporated in my district. I am neutral on this. I'm neutral. If it succeeds, it actually makes our jobs easier. But I want folks to know both sides, and I think it's important that all the facts come out.
All right, so weird things afoot yesterday at the Escambia County Commission meeting. That's Jeff Burgosh, Commissioner for District 1, which now includes Perdido and in rarity, you know, since the redistricting a couple of years ago. Oddly, an agenda item being added to the discussion about Perdido, which is in his district, but being added by Robert Bender, the commissioner for District 4, which is the city and Pensacola Beach and a couple of other small places, but that's like the eastern half of Escambia. So that's kind of weird. And he says, as he has said many times, that he is neutral on the issue. What's always interesting to me is whenever Commissioner Burgosh says he's neutral, he then follows that up typically with, I'm neutral, but nothing about this plan makes any sense to me. I don't see what you get for it. You're going to pay more taxes, and I don't know why anybody in the right mind would do it, but I'm totally neutral. It's kind of, you know, it's like, you know, you bring some gal home to meet your mom, and she's like, well, sweetie, you know, I don't have any opinion about her. I mean, you know, she's dumb, ugly, and she's going to cost you a lot of money and never make you happy. But you do what you want to. I'm totally neutral. I mean, you know, every time he says it, I think the same thing. I'm like, are you neutral? Are you really neutral? Anyway, but fine, you know, give it to him. That's what he says. No big deal. That wasn't the key element of that interaction. But long conversation about Perdido City. And it all started Stephen Berry saying, look, the bare minimum starting point for me is our 6 mills that we get at the county, that's not going to change, and we're not giving them back any money. So they got to figure out how to pay for these services that they're going to be taking from us, and we're going to keep taxing them.
You know, the way the other two municipalities work in the county, I believe that they pay their ad valorem taxes, and then they handle their own affairs however they see fit.
That's right.
Something along that line would be just an absolute starting point for me.
As in, you know, Century does it that way. God bless them. Pensacola does it that way, always have. And he's like, look, y'all can incorporate, but you're still going to pay us. And which, by the way, that is how it works. He's not wrong. It's a little weird to me because if they incorporate, then there's a bunch of money that they won't have to spend in Perdido on, for example, you know, well, depending on what Perdido winds up doing, which was the big conversation, you know. What are you guys really trying to do here? Like, what is it exactly you're going to accomplish? And Steve Brentro, the kind of the point person for all of this, even though he's not and says he's not, but kind of is, okay? He's not the one, like, making the decisions. What he says is we're going to let the voters elect leaders who are then going to make all those decisions, and I don't want to promise you something that doesn't turn out if we actually do incorporate. But, you know, basically, there is no, in my mind, clarity about what they're going to do, except that they don't plan to start their own EMS. They don't plan to start their own fire. They don't plan to start their own sheriff or, you know, police department or anything like that. They don't seem to plan to want to take over any of the roads. It's not clear to me if they plan to take any parks. It's, you know, and so Commissioner Burgosh keeps asking the question, what are you going to do and how much is it going to cost? Fair questions. I think the main thing they want to do is they want to have control over planning and zoning and development. I think, you know, of all the things the so-called government light model wants to accomplish in Perdido, it's to stop some of the, you know, what they consider to be outrageous development. And that's what they don't think the county is either willing or capable of doing. But OK, it's a fair point. Like, the county's going to get their money and then you can do whatever you want. And Burgosh says, I think people falsely believe they're going to be able to keep those county taxes.
There are folks of the mistaken belief that if that entire area is sliced off, that everything that we collect now, they're going to suddenly get it, and we're not going to get it. So that's certainly fiction. Like you said, Mr. Chairman, the 6.615 mills we will still get.
And what he keeps talking about is in order to get a bunch of match money from the state or be eligible for some various pots of money from the state, they've got to be able to raise about $11 million or three mills is the way it gets formed out of the property tax. And so, you know, how, you know, if they don't raise property taxes, which they could do, what will they do? Will they raise utilities? Will they do franchise fees? Will they do, you know, new business taxes? You know, where is the money going to come from? It's going to come from somewhere. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And remember, even though you're paying six mills, you'd no longer be entitled for free beyond that for anything that the county does. You have to negotiate with the county. The county becomes a separate entity. You're a municipality. The county becomes an entity who could provide. I mean, the sheriff has said he will continue to provide, but, you know, EMS, fire, roads, parks, a lot of that stuff, that's to be decided. And so you're going to have, you know, as Commissioner Bergosh keeps pointing out, you're going to have some kind of a, you know, revenue increase, it seems like. That's going to come from somewhere, not quite sure where. What are they going to get for the money? What are they going to do? Well, those are the questions, right? And, you know, Jeff Bergosh, who I think he most definitely does not want this to happen, but he very publicly has repeatedly said he's taking no side.
You really have to ask yourself, do you want another layer of government over the top, which you will pay extra for? Or are there things the county's doing that we can maybe do better? Those are the questions you have to ask before you vote.
Can you trust us to do better, like, you know, trying to put this fire station in, you know, the things that have led to this point, maybe we can fix in the future if only you're patient, instead of adding another layer of government and adding an extra layer of cost. So, you know, they have this conversation amongst themselves, and it's clear that at least Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh lean against, again, my read, okay, not what they're saying. They both have said publicly that, you know, hey, do what you want. We're still getting our money. Right. Other than that, do what you want. And the only other one who was there yesterday was Robert Bender. And Commissioner Kohler and May were not in attendance yesterday. So it was three people. So then they start talking about, you know, so what are you getting? And Steve Brentro is there to try to explain.
Steve, can I ask you a very, very basic question? The gist of this and
this is Stephen Barry
is really, I mean, you're. You feel like you've got a large number of people that they want to pay more tax for more service.
So the way
is that the gist of it?
The feasibility study, as it's laid out, as it proposes it, would require no additional tax revenue for the citizens of Perdido.
But I think what he's meaning there is it wouldn't require millage. It wouldn't require ad valorem taxes. But somebody's going to have to raise some money, or so it seems.
I don't mean to be...
No, that's
Kurt. That's not going to get approved by this board. I mean, our board's not going to approve an interlocal agreement that has us collecting less revenue. I mean, that's not the way our other municipalities exist. And I mean, I don't represent any of the city of Pensacola. I do represent the town of Century, which pays county taxes as well, and then pays additional taxes because they're inside the town limits. I would not think that they would be very happy if I would approve an agreement that had a reduction in ad valorem for a new municipality. Robert?
I mean, what he's getting at is, in terms of just like, if you looked at it as an outsider, it would make sense for Perdido, for example, to incorporate and then say to the county, okay, you know, of that six mills, you know, there's a significant slice of that you're no longer going to have to take care of. We're going to take care of that stuff, and we want the money to fund it. You can keep the rest and do the stuff that you've been doing. And he's like, no, sir. No, we're not voting to take less of your money. No, sir. Now, even though and his reasoning, I think, is right in that Pensacola doesn't do it that way. They just pay extra. And Century doesn't do it that way. They just pay extra. But, you know, again, if you were just looking at this as an outsider and saying, well, what would be fair? You know, if the county's not providing a service, then they shouldn't get the tax money to fund that service. That should go to whoever is providing the service. But that is not how it has worked. You know, the money that goes to fund the sheriff's office from the millage off of Pensacola residents doesn't come back to them for PPD. They just pay extra to have PPD, right? So, you know, that's just how that works. But he says, look, I don't know where you're going to get your money, but it ain't going to come from us.
The baseline is that other municipalities pay the same ad valorem rate that the county residents pay.
Mm-hmm. And that would not change.
So he says they're not intending a millage raise.
So it would be the same as it's proposed in the...
And the county receives those revenues from the residents of the municipalities in Escambia County. We receive 100% of those revenues.
Yes.
So you're not saying that's going to change?
No, that's not going to change.
How are your people not going to pay more?
Yeah, it will.
Franchise fees and communication service taxes.
We have to negotiate those once they expire, and you have to wait till they expire. But
and where are they going to come from, and how much will they raise?
So to say there's no new taxes, I think one of the first things...
I never said no new taxes. What we're saying is the feasibility study, as proposed, finds a balanced budget.
But they talk about utility taxes in there, don't they?
Commissioner, Steve, that is what I asked you. Do you people want to pay more tax for a higher level of service?
We'll have to see if they want to do that, though.
I think, at the heart of the issue.
And they're right. And, you know, look, I know Steve. He's, I wouldn't say a close personal friend, but, you know, like, their homeschool families. My wife knows his wife. You know, our kids did stuff with their kids. But, you know, he's a very smart guy. But I also found myself a little frustrated in this conversation because I'm like, on the one hand, he seems to be saying we don't want to impose an increase, but we are going to have to raise money, and the county's going to get all of theirs, and where's ours going to come from? It is an open question. And I have watched the meetings and listened to the explanations of, you know, what's going on in the potential Perdido City. And I can get why, though I don't often side with them, I get why both Stephen Bear and Jeff Bergosh are kind of frustrated at this point. And then Robert Bender jumps in.
I mean, I think that's the big question is, what will you guys be handling?
So, and I'm happy to have those discussions. I can also bring our consultant in, and they can sit down with you and help work through some of those issues.
That's kind of a basic question, right? What are you going to do? What are you going to offer, and what's it going to cost? And he's like, well, we can have our consultant come in. It's not right. And then, you know, there's this long back and forth, with which I thought was pretty illustrative of kind of both sides and the questions that are being asked here. Jeff Bergosh starts it off.
Again, I'm neutral on this. If the people out there want it, go get it. I mean, you can have Perdido Key Drive. You can have Bower Road. That makes my job easier. Are you guys going to take the roads?
Again, that's not for me to decide. That would be...
Personally, I think it is. I mean,
you're running the whole deal.
You're asking them to set up something up, and we're going to say, we're going to set up this entity, but we're not going to know what we do until we set it up.
And by the way, you don't very often hear Robert Bender get even a little loud. And this is as irked as I have heard him in a public meeting in a long time.
I mean, like that is, I believe it is your job to establish what you guys are going to be doing and how you're going to be doing it.
It's my job to do the research to help pull together the feasibility study.
Okay, well, then we need to be talking with the person who is going to be who's going to be setting it up.
And then
if it isn't you,
once the town, if it actually does pass, and we're talking hypotheticals here, but if it does pass at the 2024 election, then once the town elects its first leaders, those are the people responsible for entering into the negotiations and figuring out.
But the timeline on that, I mean, it was very short, if I remember correctly.
And you can't really go to the voters and say, here's the deal you're voting on, and unless you give them here's what it's going to accomplish, and here's what it's going to cost, when they haven't worked with the county on arranging these deals, which they would have to negotiate with the county on all of this stuff. And that's kind of what he's getting at, is the bill's got to be filed. And Alex Andrade is going to be the one to file this bill, if he does. And the details are not clear. They keep saying they're not going to cost the citizens money, but they might cost the citizens money. And they're going to have to cost them something. You don't get something for nothing. What about all these other things that are not going to be provided by the county? How are those going to get funded, since you're still going to be paying the 6 mils of tax? I mean, again, there's a lot of questions remain. And the reason this is pressing is because next week you're going to have the legislative delegation meeting, at which the county commission will tell, and members of the public will tell, the state representatives and Doug Broxson, our senator, what they want to accomplish in Tallahassee this year. And one of those things is going to be this topic. And then Alex Andrade is going to have to decide whether to file this bill to allow Perdido to vote on incorporation or not. And unless there's more clarity, I know he's going to at least wonder whether this is a bill worth filing. And we're going to actually talk with him about this next hour at 6:35, because I know this is very much pressing on him. As he wants to let people decide for themselves, but he's not clear that this presentation, this offer, makes sense at this point. And so, like I said, we'll talk with him about it. So the commissioners, to me, seem to be against it, including, you had Bergosh kind of at the end.
I get it. You guys are pushing this thing to get it in, but it almost is starting to feel like a square peg being jammed into the round hole, because you're out of time in terms of a lot of these things.
And I'll be honest, I kind of agree with him about that. But, I'm waiting to see. So Steve Brentrow says they're going to start negotiating with the county and figure out some of these details real fast. Well, real fast got to happen real fast. So to be determined, we're waiting on some things. But that was the conversation yesterday, a very interesting one about the future of Perdido and whether they might incorporate or not. 6:524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle and trying to decide whether or not you want one, well, first of all, let me say this. If you don't love your car and you wonder whether it's going to run on a given day, please, you deserve better. You really do. And the funny thing is sometimes you think, well, I don't want to put the money into a car. Yeah, but you're already putting money into your car, right? You're already spending money on repairs. And if the car is older, you're spending a lot of money on repairs. You don't want to think about it, but that adds up, right? And so at some point, what happens is you get a newer vehicle and you might have to make a payment, let's say, but you don't have to make the repairs. Because you're going to buy from Frontier, you're going to get a car that's almost new and great shape, and you know it's not going to need all that stuff because that's the kind of car they sell. So you make an adult decision, just go look around, get prices, and find out what your options might be, and discover that you can love your car again, and find one that you'll be happy with at Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
There's nothing worse than being charged to spend your own money. That's why, at Penair Credit Union, our fee-free checking account has surcharge-free ATMs available from Pensacola to Pencil wherever. So wherever you go, you can bet there's a surcharge-free ATM waiting for you. Because hey, we don't like fees any more than you do. So our checking has no monthly fees, no balance requirements, and thousands of surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Penair Checking. It just fits better. Make the switch at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Nanu.
You know, Weezer is one of those bands that I never knew how good they were until afterwards, and I start to go back and listen to a lot of the stuff. They really are a very impressive band, and I never knew it. All I really knew was the Sweater Song and a couple of their other, you know, big hits or whatever. 437-1620 is my phone number. You can text me on that line anytime you like. Somebody texts in a little bit snarky, but I appreciate it. It says, what do you want us to do in Perdido? Pass it to find out what's in it. Yeah, a little. It does feel a little Pelosi-esque, and, you know, I don't mean to, you know, run down the efforts of citizens who are trying their best to be honest and give good information, but I get the concern. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
That U.S. soldier that crossed over into North Korea now being charged with several crimes, including desertion, assault, and soliciting child pornography. Private Second Class Travis King, of course, was kicked out of North Korea in September, 2 months after he crossed the border from South Korea, where he had been stationed. He's currently in custody in Fort Bliss, Texas. Jury selection beginning today in Atlanta in the 2020 election interference case. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis has charged 19 people, including former President Trump, with criminal conspiracy to overturn the election.
Yeah, interesting developments in that case, for sure. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. It's 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Hey, coming up this morning, in case you've never heard it, the Transgressors Memorial Service, where I play a woke pastor canceling the things that have been, or, you know, mourning the loss of things that have been canceled this week. If you've never heard it, that's a good one. 6:20, and also the late service at 8:20 this morning. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden, in an address to the nation, says supporting Ukraine and Israel in their wars against Russia and Hamas terrorists is vital for America's security. He's asking Congress to approve more financial support.
It's a smart investment that's going to pay dividends for American security for generations. Help us keep American troops out of harm's way.
The funding request also includes more money for managing the U.S.-Mexico border. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan holds a news conference at 8 a.m. Eastern. There could be a third vote for House Speaker today unless Jordan calls it off, coming up short twice so far.
Republicans have nominated the Ohio congressman for the speakership, but he has not been able to secure the 217 votes required to win the position. The House has been at an impasse since October 3rd, when a small group of Republicans ousted Kevin McCarthy from the speakership.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin sources tell Fox Jordan would lose even more Republican support if they vote again today. America's listening to Fox News.
Five 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 67 degrees, partly cloudy in Pensacola today. A Pensacola man now arrested, charged with the deadly shooting at the Days Inn on Lavelle Way over the summer. 28-year-old Devin Smith was arrested yesterday. He's now facing first-degree premeditated murder charges in the death of Javar Franklin. Investigators say Smith shot Franklin in the lobby of that hotel on May 29th. Deputies say Smith and Franklin had a beef that stemmed from a couple of years ago. He's being held now without bond at the Escambia County Jail. Pensacola man will spend 25 years in prison for producing child pornography. 54-year-old Joseph Holbert previously entered guilty pleas to producing photos and videos of obscene child material. He was convicted of filming 8 and 9-year-old victims in the shower with a hidden camera this past February. The U.S. Attorney's Office says after his prison sentence, he'll spend a lifetime on supervised release and be required to register as a sex offender as well. Well, former teachers are now speaking out over what they say is happening at Warrington Preparatory Academy. Wednesday, we learned that all 7th graders are now on modified schedules due to disciplinary issues at the school. Yesterday, teachers who recently resigned tell Channel 3 that some vacancies are being filled by unqualified individuals.
I know that a lot of certified teachers were forced to go into other areas that weren't their certifications and had to teach those. There's people up there that don't even have any kind of, like, even an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree, and they're teaching, you know, core classes like language arts or math.
And there's also allegations that paychecks have been slashed with no explanation. Staff members from the State Department of Education are expected to visit that school in the coming weeks, although it's not known if they're aware of those alleged issues. A proposal for the upcoming Florida legislative session may have a significant impact on car body and repair shops. Senate Bill 194 would require that accident reports be filed before repairs can be made on a vehicle. Bob Colasanti, the owner of Colasanti's Classic Cars, talked with Channel 3.
It is malarkey. That's what it is. It's a waste of taxpayers' money. It's going to delay the whole process for our customers.
And that bill was written in response to a hit-and-run crash that killed a 13-year-old girl last year. Police were able to find the suspect after he took the car to a repair shop, but somebody reported the damage before it could be fixed. More Americans that were stuck in Israel have made it back home. Governor Ron DeSantis says a plane with more than 200 Americans landed in Florida early yesterday morning. Now, no details have been released on that flight. The governor does tweet another flight is due today. He says the federal government has dragged its feet helping Americans evacuate, but Florida stepped up, showed leadership, and delivered results. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today. Partly cloudy skies, 10% chance of a stray shower, 84 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 50s. For Saturday, beautiful conditions, plenty of sunshine, partly cloudy, high near 81. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Mostly sunny skies for your Sunday as well, the high near 84 and a low near 61. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 67 in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, it's 61 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
And we're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
More news, more talk with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday we had a chance to talk to the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. His name, in case you are brand new to the show, is Mike Wood. Everybody else knows because we've been talking to him for years and years. He's a good friend and he's an outstanding PIO. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew, Jake, and David, and Candy, if she's back there anywhere. Good
everybody.
Morning to all of you.
Yeah. Everybody. Hello, did you get enough to eat on Friday at the state cook-off?
Oh, what a wonderful time that was.
That is, I am still a little bit full from that. It's just, it's always such a good thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, looking forward to that next year. I wish they did it more than once a year. That was just a great event for a great cause, and they raised a lot of money, so mission accomplished.
Always a good thing. A couple of events that we had. Not very many things happening this week in the city that are sort of big newsworthy crimes, which is great. I always celebrate that. But we did have a woman who got shot near Haines Street, right? Which is, you know, your headquarters are on Haines Street, just for people who don't know the locations. Not that it was by headquarters, but it was on that street.
Yeah, it was north of there, a place called No Name Apartments. So I can't give you the name of it. Well, actually, I just did, but A lot of times when we mention that, people think that we're kidding, but that's the name of it. It was sort of a domestic situation where the victim knew the suspect, and we were able to quickly determine who that was and make an arrest.
Very good. Well, you know, and she was shot, injured, but, I mean, I don't know the outcome of the shooting. She's okay, or?
Yeah, she was shot in the chest, and she's going to be okay. So that's, you know, that's rare, but what great news that is. So, so yeah, we were able to close that one pretty quick, and since then it's been fairly quiet. And, you know, since you brought that up, the shooting, we are still on track with the shot spotter system going online, hopefully before the first of the year, maybe possibly in December.
Oh,
so,
okay.
We're looking really, really forward to that, you know, to see how that works out and to be able to start keeping a new set of statistics to be able to give you guys.
And again, for people who haven't heard us have this conversation before, the biggest advantage of ShotSpotter is that the automation system will capture the shot, triangulate it, and you can direct dispatch of the law enforcement officers to go to that vicinity. And I mean, it can even do like identify the caliber of the weapon. There's all kinds of things. So you don't have to wait for the 15 neighbors who don't call, and then the one neighbor who does call, and they're not quite sure what happened or where it took place. And then eventually you send officers, and like the problems over the current system, right? The disadvantages.
Yeah, exactly. So what's going to, the biggest advantage is it's going to know the difference between a lightning strike, a backfire, fireworks. It's going to know that this was a shot. This is determined between a combination between computers and people who actually listen to it and get it to us in less than a minute. So our response times, there's two things being cut out, if you will. One is the person calling 911, and the other one is dispatch. This goes straight to the officers. Not only is MCT, but his or her phone will be capable of getting that as well, getting that information as well, and responding within seconds. Our response time is already 2 or 3 minutes, but it's going to be even quicker now once ShotSpotter is up and running.
Just for the people, what is an MCT?
A mobile computer terminal. That's the computer, the laptop that we have in our cruisers.
I figured that's what you meant, but I wanted to make sure because I know somebody's listening like, wait, what is that now exactly?
I know better than to use acronyms. I should have said that to start with, but sometimes when you say it all the time, it just kind of came out. So my apologies on that.
Different from the ShotSpotter, I believe, is you guys also got approval from city council to put in some surveillance cameras. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So where they're going to be and when they're up and running, I'm not aware of. But, yeah, cameras are a great thing, you know, especially they've proven to be very helpful in the downtown area. And, again, I don't know exactly where these are going to go, but when they're up and running, we're going to let you know.
Very good. One of the kind of ongoing law enforcement stories is the level of alert in terms of protecting, you know, synagogues and Jewish schools with the things that are going on in the Middle East right now. Anything particular that you all are doing other than, you know, just constant communication and maybe enhanced patrolling in the vicinity? Anything that you guys are doing?
Yeah, you know, Chief Randall's been in constant communication with the folks at these facilities, and if they request extra help, then we're going to provide that. We are already doing extra patrols in these areas, but sometimes they want officers on site, you know, in an off-duty capacity. That's happened in the past, and if they ever request that, then we're going to take care of that for them. But right now, we're doing extra patrols in both marked and unmarked vehicles, keeping an eye on these facilities.
Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood. He's a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I saw a law has been filed, and I thought it was kind of an interesting one that would require police officers or law enforcement officers to be basically with every ballot box. When the ballot boxes go to the precinct, when they're there during the precinct, during the voting, and then when they come back to the supervisor of elections office, the idea is to put essentially an armed guard on every ballot box. And my first thought when I saw this was, well, in theory, great, but how many cops is that going to take? You know, that seems like a lot of manpower. Any thought on just the logistical feasibility of something like that on election day for, I assume, in the city it'd be PPD's responsibility?
It would, but this is one of those things, again, that we've talked many times about. If the law comes down or if we're told to do it by people above us, then we will get it done. We will find a way to make it happen. But, you know, manpower is scarce sometimes, and our number one priority is to protect the lives and property of the citizens of Pensacola first. But if a mandate comes down, then we will make it happen.
All right, very good. I figured that would be your answer, but I wanted to check and, see if your intuitions about this were the same as mine. I always want to check on that. You have a cop myth or a did you know or why do they do that for us this week?
Yeah, when was the last time you saw a quote from a patrol officer about the state of law enforcement? You know, we always know nationwide what politicians think, what union representatives think, what, statements from police executives and PIOs. But you never hear from the officer working the streets, what I call the worker bees out there at the police department. So PoliceOne.com recently did a survey to find out what these officers are concerned about, what their major concerns are. And 52% of them said recruitment and retention is their number one concern. And that, of course, is the less officers you have, the more workload the officers that you do have must face. And then it's tough for them to take leave. They get leave canceled. They miss family events and things like that. So that came in number one at 52%. Number two was the risk of prosecution for on-duty actions at 17%. And at 15% was officer wellness and morale. Also, media coverage of police issues came in at 9%, and then ambush attacks at 4% were the top concerns of the street officers.
Wow, recruitment and retention. Well, they're thinking about the things that you're thinking about that we're thinking about, and that's interesting. No, that's I appreciate that. Yeah, there's something ironic about the PIO telling me about how the PIO is... Like we got to ask the officers, but still you're relaying information that comes from a survey of officers on the street. And obviously I certainly appreciate that. Mike Wood, he is the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department and a good friend. Mike, as always, thank you for the information and thanks for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it. Absolutely. 5:46 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you are considering whether to buy or sell, and maybe both, right, obviously, but particularly if you're like first time, you've been renting for a long time, or maybe, you're moving out of your parents' home or something like that, whatever the case is, you're thinking about buying for the first time and you're not sure what to do or even whether it's a good time to do that. Hey, this is a perfect chance. Listen. I know you might not get this yet, but this is a chance for you to like start your home ownership process on exactly the right foot. Because you can call Christine Leavenworth and tell her, Andrew says call you. You know what you're talking about. And I'm thinking about whether to buy or not. And she's like, oh, sweet day. Because she can help you make that decision. And she may tell you it's not a good time. I don't know. I know she's told other people it's not a good time to do what they want to do because she's going to give you honest feedback. But the benefit is if you do go ahead with it, you'll get the benefit of having somebody work with you on your first time that is just going to be fantastic, and her whole team is fantastic. And you're not going to know that there's an alternative to that. I'm just saying, when we bought our first home, I wish we could have had somebody like Christina Leavenworth, and we didn't. I understand the distinction between them. So whether you're buying for the first time, selling and buying, just selling, thinking about acquiring a property for rental, whatever the case may be, give Christina Leavenworth a call, 723-9158.
Beach-O-Ween is back today from 4 to 8. Bring the family out to the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk to enjoy a free night of fun. Bounce houses, games, face painting, food, and
a Cat Country Kids costume contest.
This freaky fun event is brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Celebrate Beach-O-Ween on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk from 4 to 8 today. It's Beach-O-Ween.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Whether you're looking to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 95% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the spring semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there.
This morning at 10:30, join A Hope on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe that every life is precious, that every wag of a tail, every part... and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. Today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Fox News Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But as stupid does, sir.
Tennessee. 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 Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed. Down and out. Losing ground. Although I am black and brown. Problems got me pessimistic.
Good morning, 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and we got David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines.
Loss,
David?
When you lose that type of...
David.
Yep. Hold on.
I caught you mid-editing.
You did. You certainly did. President Biden appealing to American citizens for support for the wars in both Israel and Ukraine last night during that primetime address to the nation. Biden argued that support for the two nations is key to national security as he prepares to ask for congressional aid. Did you get a chance to watch the primetime address?
Everything I expected it to be.
Everything and, you hoped and more.
And less.
In other news today, jury selection begins in Atlanta in the 2020 election interference case. Of course, 19 people charged in that case. And hold on, let me get to the story I had lined up here for you. Four people have been charged for allegedly stealing dinosaur bones from public lands in Utah. Apparently, they've been selling them in China. The Department of Justice announced yesterday that four people from Utah, Los Angeles, and Oregon have been charged with 13 felony charges. Apparently, they've been digging up dinosaur bones, selling them in China. 150,000 pounds of dinosaur bones is what they're saying. Yes.
150,000 pounds?
That's a lot of bones.
Wow. Well, I guess what we learned here is there's nothing, literally nothing, the Chinese government won't try to steal from us.
Absolutely.
I mean, so even our dinosaur bones. Come on now. All right, David, thanks for the update. 552 on News Radio 92.3. Informative. Oh, David, actually, come back in here for a second. You may not. I don't know if you saw this one yesterday, but I have a new all-time favorite Florida man dumbass story.
I am on the edge of my seat.
This is my favorite thing from all day yesterday. You have a guy in Polk County. That's Grady Judd's county, right?
Okay,
so you know it's going to be entertaining to begin with, right? Okay, so you got a guy by the name of Johnny Yates who's wanted, and he's trying to elude the authorities. So his way of eluding the authorities was to hide in a home. And then when a neighbor had called and ratted him out and he got wind of it, he put a whiteboard up on the window outside of the home on the like front porch.
Okay.
And on the whiteboard, in what I can only describe as perfect penmanship, in beautiful brand new blue Expo dry erase marker, it says Johnny Yates does not live here. Capital N, underlined, two exclamation marks.
Case closed. I wouldn't even knock on the door.
If I were the cops, you come there. I mean, this saves you time, effort, difficulty. And so you just, thank you for the tip. And so you leave. No, instead, they went on in. So apparently they told
him. Did you not see the sign?
Right. The sign was clear. So they surrounded the house for an hour, and they told him to come out. And then they went to the next level, which the sheriff's office says enough was enough. And the surrender smoke was dispensed inside the house. And four people exited the home, but no Johnny. Well, obviously the dry erase board told you no Johnny, right? But still, they persisted. Deputies called out some more. Still no response, so they gave him a second helping of surrender smoke, and they let it waft around a little bit. Yet still no response from Johnny. Finally, deputies and K-9 Dexter entered the home, located Johnny, who was hiding in a modified chest of drawers, which is outrageous because how can you trust anymore in this world if the whiteboard can't tell you the truth? So I have a picture, and I'm gonna show it to Jake in case so he can at least describe it. Jake, did I accurately describe the picture in front of the house of the whiteboard hanging up over the window?
That is like third grade teacher penmanship.
It
that is perfect,
perfect. Penmanship.
I can read that all
like
the way from here. I know that Johnny
material.
Does not live there. I yes, would not go in there.
It says he doesn't live there. Well, I don't know what's hard about this.
If
case.
You can't trust the whiteboard on the front of the house these days, I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Terrible world. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, so Maxim magazine, you know, the Maxim was always like the hybrid between the Victoria's Secrets catalog and Playboy. I mean, that's basically, you know, it was like a lifestyle selling you sweet watches and yachts and clothes and sexy women who were never quite naked, you know, was always the model for me. And I haven't seen a Maxim magazine. I mean, I've seen them, but I haven't like, you know, I think I used to maybe subscribe a long time ago, like, you know, 30 years ago. But anyway, they're still around apparently. And now they have the, every year they come out with the Hot 100, you know, the most gorgeous, sexy women in the whole wide world. And once again, Barbie herself is leading the list, which is, you know, appropriate. You know, she is a gorgeous woman. And so she's at the top, you know, Margot Robbie. Coming in at 92, however, is an Australian woman-ish named Danielle Laidley, or Danny. It's the same name my wife goes by, Danny. Danielle Danny Laidley, born Dean, Australian former football coach. Also, interestingly, back in 2020, then I guess Dean at the time, was caught with about a half a gram of methamphetamines and charged with one count of stalking. Placed on good behavior with no conviction recorded in relation to the drugs. So, you know, innocent until proven guilty, even though it's Australia. But now she is 92 on the Hot 100. And look, I have seen a lot of people who cross-dress. I have seen a lot of people who cross-identify. And some of them are very attractive. Whatever else you want to say, some of them are very attractive. I would not have included this one. And I wouldn't have included any in the top 100 for the whole wide world of hottest women. But, you know, Maxim has decided that this is the direction they want to go. 656 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is actually kind of interesting. Speaking of, you know, sexiness and women and all of this stuff, Victoria's Secret, excuse me, I always get that wrong. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. They have made a decision to abandon their, like, woke agenda of desexualizing their marketing campaign. You know, they got rid of the angels, they got rid of the Christmas, you know, slut show, the lingerie show, excuse me. But, you know, the thing that everybody loves to hate to watch, that they love to watch, right? So, and they started marketing alternate body shapes, styles, plump women, Megan Rapinoe. I mean, just like they went. And now they have said, well, since we lost like 20% of our income over the last couple of years with this, it's not working. We're going to go back to selling sex. And what I think is interesting about this is that you have this weird, like, which side are you on? Because typically, the folks who market sex for a living slash the pornography industry, which are not the same, but, you know, they kind of align philosophically, and conservative Christians don't really agree about much. You know, we think that lust and adultery and premarital sex and body objectification, these are not good things. But weirdly, we sometimes find ourselves aligned with the sex sellers against the wokists and the feminists and the acronym folks who want to say that, you know, male-female relationships and male-female sexual desire are not the norm in the world. And so you kind of, even though don't really affirm what's going on with a Maxim or a Playboy or a Victoria's Secret, it's better than the sexual anarchy that the other side wants. And at least it reaffirms men being hot for women and women being hot for men, something which, you know, we kind of think is a basic core element of the universe. You know, God made them male and female and men to be together because it's not good for a man to be alone. So anyway, just it's a weird alliance that oddly, as a conservative Christian, I look at Victoria's Secret's return to its traditional idea of women trying to be appealing to men and think, okay, that's good compared to Megan Rapinoe, lesbian, feminist, kind of get rid of all of that stuff notion. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.